With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Merry Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City hammered their quiet neighbours in the derby and Arsenal scored some lovely goals. It's Monday, 7th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. Hello.
Welcome one and all. Good to have you with us. My goodness, what a weekend's footballing action. Jim Campbell, you're all the better for it, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Revitalised.
Uh-huh. What about you, PED?
Good. Enjoyed the derby yesterday. Watched it with my dogs.
The Terence Trent derby.
Yeah. Buckley thought Man United's defending was so poor, he got up and just pissed on the carpet.
Yeah. It's fair.
Fair.
Yeah, but did he show passion while he did it? Did he try? Did he track back?
Well, he filed his copy and he's like, they're not going to get back in the game.
Oh, my goodness. Tell you what, Arsenal won. Newcastle United won.
They did.
On the weekend.
Oh, let's have a high five.
Yeah. I wonder how rare that is.
Anybody going to high five me?
Fulham won, didn't they?
Obviously.
How many did Metro score?
All of them.
No, didn't
score
it. Do you want to just tell us when they don't win?
Yeah. next season.
And every day. And
all
every
right.
Match.
That'll do.
And Mitrovic won't score.
How dare you? How bloody dare you? Oh, my goodness, I'm looking forward to that swimming pool. Right, everybody, Manchester City 4, Manchester United 1. Easy peasy.
It was.
Manchester City, it's fair to say they've got over their Manchester United Etihad curse in quite a big way. But you remove Ole Gunnar Solskjaer from the situation and you see what happens.
Was one of his perks.
it was a little bonus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's only the second time Manchester United had faced a top six side under Ralf Rangnick after West Ham United, and it shows you that they're not up to it. I think it was their first league loss since the third. I mean, they've only lost a couple of games under Rangnick.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, is an enormous surprise.
Yeah. It's a bit mad the way people talk about Rangnick. It's just massive failure. It's a steady ship, but it's an underwhelming expensive ship, isn't it?
Yeah, I do quite enjoy
it. It's stuck in the Suez.
It is. But, I mean, there are a fair few people on Twitter going, who would have thought that a guy who hasn't really managed that much and was sporting director in, which side was it? One of the Moscow sides. Who would have thought it would come to this, you know? Because I look back at what I said at the time thinking, I think this is not a bad move for Manchester.
Well, you're going on his reputation, right? And his reputation seemed very solid.
Yeah, but I should have gone on the facts more, Jim. Yeah. And he hasn't really managed that much in the last 10 years.
Also, I think a big part of it seems to be that he's trying to implement a new system and Man United players see that he's temporary and they're just going,
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll wait you
because we're only going to have to unlearn it, aren't we, when the next guy comes in.
Yeah. It's like learning Spanish for a two-week holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point?
Forget you, owl. I'm going to just ignore your emails.
Why are we learning Spanish? Because you're moving to Portugal and it's slightly similar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of chat, wasn't there, by the Sky Sports pundits about Ralf Rangnick and Michael Richards had a nice little ding-dong with Gary Neville. We enjoy these things.
What are they there for?
Gary Neville seemed to sort of be in disbelief that Michael Richards thought that Antonio Conte would have been a good option. And it's kind of like, I mean, Gary, you're obviously quite an intelligent guy, you know, your onions with football, but...
He's got big blind spots when it comes to Man United, though, isn't he? Which is sort of what you want in a pundit if we're looking at an entertainment kind of criteria.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Because then you get these ridiculously, you know, histrionic ding-dongs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's go to the match itself. I mean, the first half, Manchester United, it was a respectable performance. I mean, you could see what they were trying to do. I did quite enjoy what Pep Guardiola said about the way they set up, because it's quite an interesting formation. Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't there because apparently he was injured, and then he flew off to Portugal because he thought, well, if I'm not involved, you probably want me out of the way, you know, give Harry Maguire the changing room so he can do the talk and all that kind of stuff. But Guardiola said they played a 4-2-4 and were very aggressive for Ralf. But without Cristiano Ronaldo, they can do that.
Oh,
a little dig.
Big talk.
They were incredibly impressive. Now, you know when he showers praise on teams that he's beaten? This is a classic example of that. But imagine the way they set up. It was interesting to see Fernandes and Pogba trying to sort of push from the front. Mm. And, you know, you could see what they were trying to do. The problem is that when you go behind, what then?
Yeah.
Because they scored a lovely equaliser through Sancho, but it was an individual piece of brilliance. Well, the ball from Pogba was lovely.
Yeah. Mm. It was a great finish.
It was a superb goal, and I quite liked his celebration as if to say, well, if you will let me leave. Yeah. the problem is, though, that, as I say, you set up like that. Well, that's all very well if you're a goal or two up and there's half an hour to go or something like that. Or you say, right, well, let's just stay in the tie. You've then got to try and break out. And evidently in the second half, they just didn't do that, but they got De Bruyne at it, didn't they, Peter?
They did, with his lovely little ginger beard.
Yes.
Very enjoyable.
I think the chaotic elements of Jack Grealish that we were talking about were very effective for City as well.
Yeah.
And also, fundamentally, they've got some defensive players who can actually play a bit, which Manchester United certainly don't. The assurance, every single last footballer, and it's been like this for a long time, obviously, with Manchester City, but watching Manchester City against Man United... I know you say with Premier League players and players of any semi-pro upwards level, like touches automatic, it's not with Man United because they're so low on confidence, not low on confidence, but they're so bitty here and there. Mm. Man City, like everyone can just play in a patch of grass that's like a sixpence, as they say.
Yes.
It's incredible. I think they're improving players that don't even play for Man City anymore. Like Peter Beardsley and stuff. I'm sure he probably feels like he's a better footballer
from watching them
and having Manchester City on his CV.
He's trying to claim the Sancho goal for them as well.
Exactly, that's why Sancho scored.
Pep Guardiola was talking about how brilliant Peter Beardsley is actually in the post-match as well.
He was,
yeah.
I always think of him in a Bradford City shirt, Peter Beardsley, incidentally.
Yeah.
Or smashing through a plane glass window
in a motorbike.
Yeah.
Oh, yesterday.
He's the one who got the stiffy. Is that him?
Lomas.
Yeah. Nice. Lomas Lobon. Lovely.
High mass. But yes, according to Sky, Manchester City had 92% possession in the last 15 minutes of the game. And in the last 25 minutes of the game, Manchester United completed 23 passes. Damning statistics.
Yeah. I think the thing is, when you're playing against Man City, the margins for error are practically non-existent. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be so switched on constantly. Like, unless they're having an off day, which they rarely, rarely have. It's got to be really fully committed and you've got to fight for every inch. And they just didn't do that enough, did they?
Yeah, I think that you've...
You're talking about Lomas again. Yeah.
No, but that's exactly what Roy Keane was tearing his hair out after the match. And I'm sure a lot of Manchester United fans, he said they'd given up. And that's the thing. And I understand if you're in a game of football and you're being absolutely hammered, but you've just got to keep going. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the gulf in the two sides is all there to be seen. And Manchester United, they get the odd result. They get the odd false dawn, which they've had. I mean, I don't know how many false dawns are there. Is it even right to say that? Because this is where they are.
They've got... I don't know if they're quite false dawns. I think it's more that they've got... good enough players. They've got players of a high enough individual quality that it will see you through against a lot of teams.
Yeah.
They are just better. It's almost like they win a lot of games on paper. Do you know what I mean? Where they just have that quality that takes them through. But when it gets to the upper echelons, and obviously Man City and Liverpool are, and Chelsea really are a cut above everyone else, you see the gulf. You see how that really, really isn't enough.
Well, Rangnick said they've got a long way to go to close the gap, and he's absolutely right. But it was only a few weeks ago he was saying Manchester United don't need to overhaul the squad to compete for the title next season. So he either thinks, oh, well, I'm not really good enough to mould this lot into a much better side, which is, I don't think that's what he meant by that. And then the second thing is well, if he's going to be sporting director, presumably he's going to be heavily involved in recruitment and trying to shape the club going forward. I don't really understand what he means there. And Rangnick, to me, I honestly think they'd probably be better off of sticking with Solskjaer at the moment. Now, he may well go in as sporting director and there may well be a plan, but I'm sorry, I don't see how this is going to come. I mean, Neville tweeted, City aren't just better on the pitch. A new dawn for Manchester United with Richard Arnold, CEO, and a new manager incoming. But yesterday was a fitting memorial to the Ed Woodward Glazer last 10 years of mismanagement. Well, we have to wait and see. Unless they get somebody in, and I agree with Richards, you know, it should have gone Conte. It would be better. Yeah. I know he's struggling a little bit at Spurs, but it would be better. And if they don't get, I mean, Ten Hag is being linked there. There's no guarantee.
As well.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee he's going to be there. But Pochettino would be the one that I think they would want. I just don't see this improving.
No, I know what you mean. I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? You look at the squad on paper, it is really, really good. But surely it's not impossible for someone to get more of a tune out of them.
I do agree with that point.
You could see both Pogba and Ronaldo leave realistically. But, you know, they need replacing.
Well, Ronaldo's already left. He's got a Portugal.
Cavani as well.
Cavani is going to leave, apparently. But, I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, there's not. It's going to need an overhaul, whether you like it or not.
But those are the ones I wouldn't really worry about. I mean, Pogba's been going to leave for the last 4 years. I think he's a good player, Pogba, but we know at Manchester United he's sort of flattered to deceive at times, although he has played well at times. If Cavani leaves, well, fair enough. He's you know, served the team well, but he's a bit older and so on. Ronaldo, is he cutting the mustard? Not really. You know, blah blah blah. When you hear someone like Marcus Rashford might leave because of lack of minutes. Now I know Rashford is not in the same class as say Cristiano Ronaldo, but he's a handy player. I mean, I know this is going to sound a bit silly, but when Danny Welbeck left, I know Welbeck is obviously, you know, it just seems a while ago now, but some of the Manchester United fans are quite sad about that because he's an academy player and, you know, he's always grafted for the team, blah, 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 blah. Now, he's not top quality Welbeck, and I'm not saying they should have kept him in those kind of terms. But if Rashford left, I think because of getting a lack of minutes and especially in a team like this, I think that would be quite damning.
For sure.
And I just think that is the kind of thing that brings a bit of a dark cloud over the side.
But you know for a fact that Man United's main rebuilding job will be getting the new sponsors in, because they've lost a couple of recently, haven't they? That'll be their focus, won't they?
Ralph Rangnick said they need to essentially copy Man City and discover a corporate identity. I think.
Oh wow! I mean, that's a pure director kind of speaking there, isn't he?
Bloody Nora! I mean, one player that we haven't touched on too much yet is Harry Maguire. He was in the focus again, Peter. Yeah. That second goal, where he let the ball go through his legs when he could have just thumped it out for a corner.
I think
decisions like that where you think, come on, like that, that's just not...
It makes you feel like confidence is shot, isn't it? He's overthinking things. And I suppose when a top-level footballer, you hear it said all the time, they think like, you know, two or three moves ahead. I guess if your confidence drops and you are overthinking stuff, you think fewer moves ahead, and that's how things like that happen. That's how it looks to me.
But you think
anyway.
You'd sort of concentrate on the simple things, wouldn't you? But he's just not doesn't seem to be doing that. I think he thinks, I am Manchester United player, I'm a very expensive defender, I'm England's number one choice at the back, you would say. I am a bit of a Rolls Royce, so I am calm. He's a little bit too calm for me.
Right.
He's too a bit like, I'll just let it go through my legs. I'll have some time to... Oh, no, I haven't got time.
Fred will be covering.
Oh, I'm a meme again,
mummy.
Yeah. What did you think of his yellow card, Peter? Should it have been a red one?
Yes, I think it should have been.
I mean, it was that late. That could have been deemed a kick off the ball. Yeah. It was that late.
And he needs that time in the in the stand.
I mean, Lindelof didn't cover himself in glory either. I mean, he was. I mean, Foden sort of knocked the ball lovely over him and for the first goal. But
it's what City can do to you, though, isn't it? They can. That's a whole thing that you hear in Sunday football. Yeah. Don't let him do that to you.
Yeah.
But they are that sort of team that can take the piss out of you without even knowing they're doing it.
Totally.
But
I think
good.
We shouldn't sort of say that Manchester United were just awful. They were awful, but Man City made them to look awful. But I think that's the thing. Is that when Manchester City play the other teams around them in the league, when they play Arsenal, when they play, obviously Spurs beat them, you don't get this chaotic performance with the Manchester United. Well, the 2-1 at the Emirates.
No, I mean, I've seen Arsenal put in some
chaotic. No, but I'm talking about this season, though. And I'm talking about in recent, you know.
They beat us 5-0 in the first game, I think.
But that was a while ago now in the story of the season. Stop doing yourself down, man. I'm just saying, talk up your boys.
I think it's worth meriting that did actually happen.
Okay. In the last few months, then. Okay, we'll caveat it there.
They've got some, I mean, they've got Spurs on Saturday. You imagine they'd probably get a result. You'd probably like win 3-2.
Spurs or Man
United,
this is it, Man United. They do just pick up a result in there, don't they? And it's almost it feels a little bit like they grind them out. I think Riyad Mahrez scoring the last goal off the chin of David De Gea seems symbolic of where they both are.
Well, on a different day, that could have bounced over the bar, or it's just indicative of how they found themselves.
Well, his first goal, Riyad Mahrez's goal, was a beauty.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant goal. What a season he's having as well. But it feels like a sign of the times, isn't it, that this feels like a relatively normal scoreline. This would have been seismic in times past.
Yeah but I think for Man City, I think they very much enjoy that. And I think with Liverpool hot on their heels, to then go into a derby match when they were only 3 points above them, to just brush.
Oh, I'm not saying that Man City won't be loving it.
I'm just saying that let's look at it from a Man City point of view, is that I think they will absolutely love that. And I do find it funny that after hammering their rivals 4-1, Pep Guardiola is still saying, well, we definitely need a striker. And you think, bloody Nora. Haaland is...
Ideally, I wanted 8.
Yeah, DJ, yeah. We must move on, though, to Manchester United's rivals for that fourth spot. Arsenal, they beat Watford 3-2 away. Some lovely, lovely, lovely goals in this match. I mean, look, Peter, you're dressed in a red jumper right now, and you are incredibly superstitious. Should Arsenal play all their games in red shorts?
Oh, definitely. They're the only kind of argument for that is they're the Premier League drip daddies, and just it's fashion. Look it up, guys.
The drip daddies.
I'm just going to wear red all over, baby.
What's a drip daddy?
I don't know, someone. I
shouldn't really ask such a question.
I don't think it's an actual thing. A drip is clothes, isn't it?
So thank goodness for that. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, okay.
It's not one of my things I've found on the internet.
Or a way to get you some nutrients.
Exactly.
Perhaps more wholesome. But yeah, 3 brilliant goals from Arsenal. Beauties. I quite like what Lacazette's doing in the side.
Yes.
The non-scoring striker, but my goodness, he likes to provide.
Kind of flicked layoffs leading directly to goals.
I don't know
he's going to do that every week. I hope he is.
Well, give him a chance. You're only as good as your last flick.
No, he's an incredibly hard worker, Lacazette. And obviously his finishing sometimes leaves a lot to be desired. But there's never been any question about that. What he brings to the team in terms of link-up play and his commitment up front. So, that really paid off yesterday. He's a smart player.
He is, but the goals are coming from Saka, Martinelli. Obviously, Smith Rowe wasn't there, but Odegaard as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that Odegaard goal.
Lovely.
Come on.
The understanding between him and Saka is a really beautiful thing to see. They highlighted it on Match of the Day.
It's not just the individual player, and that's what I like. Like, Odegaard was told he needs to score and create more goals. And it is this young side that having a settled side, and Odegaard himself not moving around all the time. He said himself he enjoys the fact that he's got a position and he's got a place he can actually do something with. And they're young footballers. It's not just about learning the system. It's learning about a settled side, learning about the limitations of your fellow player and what they're liable to do in any situation and kind of like looking forward to seeing where they're going to be on the pitch. So it's I like watching Arsenal at the moment. I think they're a wonderful, young, talented side. It's great stuff.
What I do like is how Mikel Arteta will say Martin needs to do this or he needs to do that, or he challenged Emil Smith Rowe to score more goals at the start of the season, and then you see the players do it. You know, he's very, very open about what he wants from them and how he wants them to implement it, and you see the proof in that pudding a little bit later on. It's really enjoyable. There were some worrying moments in the game, though, for sure. Like Aaron Ramsdale had another kind of few iffy moments from him lately, and there was another one at the weekend, so you wonder if, like,
he's a bit Pickford.
Well, I mean, you worry it could go that way. We've not seen a lot to suggest that, but it's started to creep into his game, so you do worry. That's a thing to stamp out a little bit. Ben White obviously should have been better on the goal at the end, which is unfortunate. Excellent game.
When Sissoko does that, you just got to
Well, yeah, just got to hold your hands
up. Was that nice for you to see him score?
Well, he didn't set up the first one as well, didn't he? Set up
Kucha. What a goal that was!
Yeah, An amazing game for goals.
I mean, even Sissoko's one, it was well taken to Chester. Then, obviously, the defender would have been a bit disappointed with himself. But five fantastic goals, you have to say.
I mean, fantastic is kind to the last one, I think.
But, okay, four fantastic goals and Sissoko scored, and a decent
which
one.
Is, let's say, notable, isn't it?
I'd say so.
And also Mikel Arteta getting involved in the build-up play.
That was
nice. Yeah. He sort of threw it back. He was way out of his box.
Oh, shut up.
Way out of his little area, his little tettle area, ran halfway up the fucking thing and threw it back to the player.
Would that have been peak VAR, wouldn't it?
It would have.
If they'd disallowed the goal because
I was worried that would happen.
Well, apparently, not
meant to come out of the technical areas, right?
Well, apparently the fourth official told him, Mikel, you shouldn't be allowed to do that, which is a great line for a comeback in an action film. Mm. I've written a couple of possible retorts. And B shouldn't technically fly. Deal with it. And then he does it. I don't know who the fourth official was, but it was either Lee Betts or Simon Hooper. Both work.
Yep.
I'm Mikel Arteta. Shove that up your Hooper.
Yeah. Good.
Or, you bet your life I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And is he going to host an 80s game show after? Football Management, maybe. I don't know. There could be legs in that.
But they're doing this with like Tomiyasu and Ross still not back. Like they've got quite a... would you be fair to say they've got a slightly thin squad for what they're trying to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a calculated gamble, I think, keeping the squad so kind of...
Was he on a quad bike, Arteta, up and down the touchline?
I don't think he'd risk that. He's very, very pragmatic. So, obviously, someone like Thomas Partey, for example, if he gets injured, that's going to be a problem because it's difficult to plug that gap. But, I mean, essentially, you know, it was... sign people for as a short-term fix or just, you know, try and work with what you got, and they're doing that and it's working so far. I'm, like I say, I'm a little bit worried about the manner of both goals conceded because Arsenal, they're not playing that much. So obviously that's good because the players are rested, but you do worry a little bit about complacency, as I said the other day. But this was a very, very enjoyable win again. It's just nice, isn't it? Yeah. Sat in fourth with games in hand.
Well, they're in pole position, aren't they? And the way Bukayo Saka's playing, he's like a man possessed, Jim. I mean, Arsene Wenger said that Bukayo Saka's penalty miss in the Euro 2020 final was great for his career. Now, he did clarify that by saying that it showed him how much the public in England
love him.
And I thought that was a really important point to make, because sometimes we focus on... And I understand this. I'm not saying we shouldn't do this, but sometimes all the focus, rather than just some of the focus, is on horrible, nasty comments on Twitter and whatnot. Mm. But actually, the vast majority of people who support England, certainly everybody in that stadium that night and blah, 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 there's a lot of support.
Yeah,
and I think that is a good point to make. And he's you even forget now. You think about what it used to be like for players. You know, mentioned it at the time. Southgate himself was doing adverts and all this kind of stuff. You think, oh yeah, so he did.
Yeah,
you know, and he's playing. You know, marvelous stuff.
And yeah, I mean, in any person's life, these when big things happen to you, you grow and you learn, don't you? And I mean, that is a huge, huge thing for him to have gone through. And he's just immediately bounced back and clearly as used it to kick on. So I think Wenger has a point there, as he so often does.
Absolutely right. Gentlemen, we want to end the first half just quickly talking about Chelsea beating Burnley 4-0 at Turf Moor. It's always a tricky place to go, as it proved to be again. And I mean, they were excellent, were Chelsea, quite handily beating them. I mean, it was nice to see Reece James starting for the first time since the turn of the year.
Yeah, he didn't have to work very hard to fake out the back line, did he? His kind of like his fakes were quite slow, and I was like, you don't really have to work that hard with Burnley, do you?
I mean, do you remember around the Euros, people were making up a team of right backs?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think about that a lot. Got to be honest, I worry about it a lot.
Yes.
I think Reece James is putting forward a really, really good argument for him to be play as the striker in that system.
Well, I thought to myself, not that long ago when Matty Cash declared for Poland, I was like, well, that's a bit of a shit. Oh, he's seen the queue ahead of him, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's a fair play.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
he's a huge name to return to the squad. He's so important in that system. There's probably an argument to say he's the best fullback since Ashley. Would that be fair?
Ooh.
For Chelsea?
For Chelsea,
just mean in general?
For Chelsea.
He meant Ashley Cole,
possibly.
Not Mike Ashley.
Yeah. But he was properly showboating at times, wasn't he? He's a shithouse as well.
Do you think
he
is?
When he scored against Arsenal in the Emirates, he ran over to the Arsenal fans and like just gave it some Vardy. Like, he absolutely
is.
He's the complete
fullback, back and forth. Like, he's fantastic. Him and Chilwell have just been such a big loss, and obviously I don't think Chilwell's going to be seen again this season, but why Chelsea don't have cover in these areas, I don't know, because they're rich and they've got a big lawn system.
Yes, they do. Now, we have to mention, don't we, there was a minute's applause in solidarity with Ukraine before kickoff. Of course, that was happening at games across the country, and Chelsea fans, we know, were heard chanting Roman Abramovich's name during it. And what was good to see was Thomas Tuchel, who's handled himself very well, I would suggest, in these recent weeks, said it's not a moment to give other messages. We show respect and we need our fans to commit to this minute of applause. There is no second opinion about the situation. Yeah. And that last sentence in particular gives no room.
Yeah, and managers have been criticised in the past for kind of just going along with the, you know, a weird party line, that whatever is going to be the most popular thing to do at that time. And, you know, Chelsea as a club works so hard to be this 21st century modern club, but it's frequently the fans that turn up to matches and, you know, follow the team on away days in Europe that let them down. And I would look back to Newcastle United's, you know, dancing around Strawberry Place and kefirs and stuff. Would my football team do the same thing in this situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. There's a remote possibility that would be the case, but would it be indicative? Would it be indicative of a wider problem with the fans? I would posit no. Mm-hmm. But with Chelsea fans, they let their club down so often.
Yeah, I think it's the power of the sports wash, isn't it? Essentially, that they are just willfully overlooking the point of the situation with a minute's applause.
But it's different online in forums and stuff. They seem to have slightly more level heads, but the fans, there is a problem with the fans that attend games, and we've frequently seen it with that team.
As Marcus has said, I think Tuchel has been very, very strong on it. He said he compared it to the taking of the knee, compared it to how fans react when a person dies, and I think that rightly shows the gravity of something like this, and he's generally been excellent on it, and you know, fair play to him.
But yeah. On Burnley's side, can I just touch on Burnley briefly?
I mean, poor result.
I feel for them because they are capable of taking points off your big six, but they really flounder against kind of middling opposition. They've got Brentford coming up, Norwich, Watford, Villa, Newcastle. You imagine that could save their season, but you know for a fact they're going to find it really, really difficult because they just don't seem to put in quite as much effort. I think the third goal was embarrassing. Mm. So many players in attendance, too many cooks, not enough responsibility for individuals in that setup. It's just not enough getting your foot in and going winning, which is weird for a dice side.
Mm. Well, you might say that the three that are currently in the relegation zone could be the three that would go down. So, yes.
You never know.
You never know. All right, let's have a quick break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Thank you.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior, Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed the dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now, he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bush ranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah, can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Always believe in your soul.
That's it. No, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe it.
Right, everybody, let's see how we got on in Betway's Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free each week. Of course, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's Four selected matches for your chance to win that weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In Game 1, Liverpool versus West Ham, Jim, you picked Diogo Jota. The result was Sadio Mane. Yeah. Game 2, Watford versus Arsenal, Vish picked Emile Smith-Rowe. He didn't play. The result was Martin Odegaard. Game 3, Manchester City versus Manchester United, Kate picked Bruno Fernandes. It was, of course, Kevin De Bruyne. Game 4, Spurs versus Everton is tonight. I picked Heung-Min Song. Well, the result is yet to be determined.
You're not having that, though.
So I'm still in there. But, of course, you need a full house. You need all four right. So whether I get it right or not, it doesn't matter. We are out of it.
Yeah. I mean, Jurgen Klopp didn't pick Diogo Jota. No. I was very disappointed about that. Emile Smith-Rowe got COVID. So, yeah, it's been a barren week. So do us proud tonight, Marcus.
But the big thing is that we'll be back for another round of Four to Score of the preview show this Friday. You can't keep us down, and it's now time for emails.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
Got a message from Nick picking up on Friday's discussion about Stuart Pearce playing David James. Clubs with nothing to play for in the final game of the season should put out an 11 of just fans. There'd be infinite subs, obviously, because there's no chance in hell any of us are running for 90 minutes without vomiting on live television. How would the match of the day team be selected? Raffle? Small club run tournament? Hot dog eating contest? The opportunities are limitless. Nick, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, well, Harry Redknapp famously did put a fan on, didn't
he? Did, yeah.
In a pre-season.
Hit the post.
I think you...
The dream.
Every time the game stops for like a free kick or a throw-in or something like that, then a seat number flashes up.
And yes.
if that's your seat number, off you go.
Yeah.
Onto the pitch. Yeah. That's how you do it.
That is how you do it. Ooh, okay.
Sounds a little bit like... What's that TV show? Hang on.
You haven't seen Squid Games, have you?
That one, yeah.
That little fish under the
desk.
What's he doing under there?
He's talking about Squid Games.
Oh, had a rough night. Slept in the studio. Yeah. There we are.
It's Squid Game. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help myself. I had to
get
out,
Jim.
No, I won't. Ed's been in touch. Inter Miami conceded 5 today in their quest to finish at the bottom of MLS. Yeah. The look on Neville's face was incredible. Can't be long now. They lost 5-1 to Austin, and Fizzer described it as another steep learning curve for us. Well, I'm absolutely gutted that he's never going to take over at Newcastle now. that was so clearly in the future under Ashley, I thought.
Well, you never know, Jim. But
you think he's going to work his way up to
the quality
of manager where the Saudi regime would hire him?
I'm just suggesting that the Saudi regime
has faith in him.
Unlike you, I don't think they always make right decisions.
Right.
But with Phil Neville, I mean, it's a steep learning curve. He is right, isn't he? You know, and that, I think that's the beauty is when you
have
a manager.
He's right that he'll get this email read out.
I think that that's the beauty with having Phil Neville as manager. You learn so much.
Yeah.
You learn a lot.
About
how hard football really is.
About what a manager's supposed to do.
Well, I think Ed says it can't be long now until Messi teams up with them.
Yeah.
I assume that's Messi and Neymar would
once
probably
once they get Messi
out.
And Neymar in, there'll be so much more to learn.
Yeah, Fizzer was promises were made.
Not kept.
We shall see. And before we go back to talking about the Premier League, I would like to shout out to Adam Burton on Twitter, who sent me a photo of him and one Dickie Borthwick.
Oh,
we remember
yes,
Dickie Borthwick, Britain's oldest footballer. We've talked about him once in a while in the history of the Football Ramble. Adam said he bumped into Borthwick in Weymouth. And he was in a pub. He was apparently Dickie was doing karaoke. He was hanging on a minute, and But last summer there was an article in the National Press about Borthwick, and he was sort of saying, I've got a bit of a back injury. I may have to retire. We'll see. But he did retire in December last year at the age of 86.
Nah.
He was asked if he'd play walking football, and he said, "Nope, I'm used to playing the whole 90 at full pelt."
Whoa.
Oh, here's the Dickie.
There's the Dickie.
Oh, dear. So always nice to hear what Borthwick's up to.
Yeah.
Get him in there. All right. If you want to send us some of that kind of nonsense, or, of course, contribute to Pep Talks on Wednesday, show at footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. Back to the Premier League, gentlemen. Aston Villa 4, Southampton 0. What a performance from those villains, and what a performance from Philippe Coutinho.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Should have scored a hat-trick, Jim.
He should have, yeah. There is that. But Gerrard didn't mention that, actually, did he? He said that he was as good as he'd seen him at Liverpool. Mm. I think that's reasonable. He looked a cut above, didn't he?
He really did.
I don't think defenders sat off Coutinho when he's at Liverpool like that, to be honest, though. Good God.
He's a busted flush, they thought. I'm intrigued.
I think he just suits England. He's maybe like the least Brazilian ever.
Yeah.
He just loves a wet afternoon in the Midlands.
Yeah. He did win the Champions League with Bayern.
Yeah, but
Brazilians travel very well in the world, don't they? Like footballers.
Some of them.
Play anywhere. Well,
Martinelli.
Mm. You're right. His time at Bayern was an unqualified success.
One league title to Barcelona. But he did get criticised.
You know what I mean?
I'm intrigued by this Coutinho and Villa stuff because he's on loan there till the end of the season. They do have the option to buy. His contract runs out, I believe, summer 2023 with Barcelona.
Mm.
Now, will they take a cut price? I mean, apparently they need a bit of cash, although they're still spending it. You know, they've not understood the whole, you know, mathematics on that sort of stuff.
No.
But clearly he's playing well.
Maybe they're holding out for 100 million.
It could be. But we'll make it back.
It's like my HSBC app. It tells you how much, on the front screen, it says in this amount of money, out that amount of money. The out has never been less than the in.
Can you get it in the style of, can you get that in audio? Maybe like Richard O'Brien reading out, "You have spent 155,000.
Oh, how? I can't let you do that, Peter. You've done it again, Peter. You don't need to confess at Marketplace.
Why are you registering this domain, Peter?
Oh, dear. Some very...
Yeah, I did. What was it? Big Bangers?
I registered big
in the production meeting before the show, drunk with power and giddiness, I registered the domain bigbangers.co.uk, which you can visit now. It's been redirected to a particular website.
We don't know what kind of bangers you're going to put up there.
No.
But they're going to be big.
Well, it's up there. The job is, it's been redirected. It's fine.
Do you remember the little bangers you used to get? You throw them on the ground, they go...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little couple of rocks and a bit of gunpowder.
Bring them back.
Bring them back.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's up to you.
It's up to you.
I'd like
bring
to strictly
back, don't bring
say
back.
I've got nothing to do with this.
Sounds like you're into it.
And I will remain a neutral on this. But Coutinho.
Bigbangers.co.uk.
Get involved. Mm. Coutinho, I am intrigued because do Villa take that option to buy, or do they maybe just try and get him on loan for another season or whatever? Will Coutinho himself be interested? Because you think about this, before Aston Villa, he's played, and when you go all the way back, he played in Italy, but, you know, Liverpool, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, okay? He's played at elite clubs, and he's won the Champions League with Bayern. He was only there for a season. He came on in the final. He didn't start, but he came on. He contributed, played quite a lot in their European campaign. At Barcelona, it's not quite worked out, but he has won trophies there. Would he take a step down at a club like Villa. Now, Villa are going places under Gerrard. They do look pretty good, and it's a huge club, blah, 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 blah. But it's not an elite-level club. I know Barcelona might not be considered elite-level at the moment in terms of finances and so on, but they'll certainly have ambitions to get back up there very, very soon. Would Coutinho, does he want to be refreshed and then go, right, OK, I'll show what Barcelona I can do, or maybe a bigger move? Or will he be wanting to go to a club like Villa? Because he's, what is he, 30 this year? It's an intriguing one, Jim.
I think, looking at the situation, it couldn't really be going better for both parties. So you would think if Villa have a chance of keeping hold of him, it has to go like this. Obviously, he might think, OK, I'm back, baby, and try and sort of get a move elsewhere. But I think possibly at this stage of in his career, he might... he might want some stability. He might want to be at a club where things are built around him, where he's clearly loved. He's got that relationship with Steven Gerrard.
Yep.
I think there's a good chance that he will stay at Villa.
Well, you could also spin it and say, well, he's won everything elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, that is the he probably won't get much better than that.
You sort of think, as long as the wages are in place, and obviously he's a very expensive footballer, but it's going to be about Gerrard, isn't it, really, and his relationship, I think.
I mean, he's trying to get Suarez in as well.
Right.
Well, he's going to leave Atletico at the end of the season, by the way.
And he says he's got revenge on his mind.
Yeah, he always does.
I mean, he's always got revenge on his mind.
That's how it fuels him.
Yeah, but I really want to know in which direction.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Maybe not winning the Premier League title with Liverpool.
Maybe.
And every other team got in the way of that. So every time...
everyone.
Yes, exactly. Never. Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. But, I mean, he would have to usurp Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins up front.
Yeah.
He's playing them as a two up front. He's given
what
it a go.
Wanted.
Oh, Watkins with a lovely
turn.
Beautiful striker
he's
stuff.
He's a good player, Watkins.
Yeah, I think that was enjoyable. With the Manchester derby, I mean, I know it wasn't on the same day. With the Manchester derby, there was no strikers. It's like, come on. Watkins stepped up there and went, there you are.
It was like his goal was, the first goal was so good. It was just like, it was three touches, wasn't it? Want to give himself space, want to set himself and just putting it past the
spinning
keeper.
Spinning on that sixpence you mentioned.
Very the old sixpence. The old sixpence, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, with Coutinho pulling the strings, I mean, you look at that midfield, actually. You've got Douglas Luiz at the base, who's a great operator. And then you have Ramsey and McGinnie Esther.
Yeah.
You know, all action, all things to all people in there, providing a lot of energy. It does provide a platform for Coutinho buzzing around and playing them in. They may not be able to set up like that against the best sides.
Ashley Young rolling back the ears.
Well, I tell you what, it's an exciting side. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, if you know, you get Matty Cash on. I find it funny. He's not Matt Cash, is he? He's Matty Cash.
Matty.
Yeah, yeah. Is that just in case people of our age would confuse him with the the Australian former tennis player Pat Cash, or is perhaps that a bit fanciful? Matty Cash doesn't even know who he is, let's be
almost
honest.
So.
But Callum Chambers in that back four,
lovely ball in for the, was it the first goal?
Yes, I think it was.
It's nice.
First is it? I forget which one. Second goal, for Luiz, and a beautiful cushion pass by Coutinho. But it's an exciting side with Gerrard as manager. The figure he cuts as well. It's exciting times for the Villa.
Having a kickabout on the pitch with his son at the end of the match.
That was nice to see.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a bit weird. He's 22.
What, his son is?
Yeah. No, he's
not. Oh, what's such a bit?
Little toddler. Little kid.
Oh, I was going to say, I missed that one. Mm. Reports following this game that Ralf Hasenhüttl is on Manchester United's shortlist for their next manager.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Imagine
cause,
that.
Because like, that's what the misfiring,
under their
lazy Manchester...
See how low this could go.
But you sort of go like Manchester United are known for like some of their players not working as hard as they possibly could be. And like that suffocating high up the pitch style that Hasenhüttl is starting to sort of play in that side. And it's just, and he won't have that sort of speed that he's got Southampton at the back with Maguire and stuff, is he? So, oh dear.
It's not going to happen. But if it did,
I
think it would be a shame for Southampton because they're putting stuff together. I know they got a bit.
Not Manchester United. Oi, we
it
all
would be funny for us,
yes,
but it would be a shame for Southampton because his first season was just firefighting after the mess that was left with the previous managers. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm enjoying Southampton play this season, and it's quite fun to watch them getting beat 4-0 as well.
Was anybody kind of thinking when the fourth went in, there were still 35 minutes to play? Is it time for another 9-0?
Yeah, it's going to hang over them for some time yet, I think, Matt.
Norwich against Brentford was one we talked about on Friday. An important game down the bottom. Brentford won it 3-1. And Ivan Toney hat-trick.
Yeah, Toney.
Yes, Thomas Frank said he's the best penalty taker in the world at the moment.
Even when you know he's going to put it there, it's just something else. With such a short run.
Wow. I did enjoy Krul versus Toney in the clash of the penalty
so
styles.
So did Toney.
Because Toney's like going, I know what you're... Krull's kind of whole thing is, it's not about necessary skill. He researches penalties. He knows where people are going to put them. But that's only half the battle. Yeah. So his big thing is trying to psych out everyone out and having a bit of a reputation for being a penalty-saving specialist.
Yep.
But Tony's just like, right, if that's all you've got is a bit of like Ed games, mind games and stuff, like I'm still going to score because I'm brilliant at this.
Yes, indeed. Can I just say to any Premier League goalkeeper, if you face an Ivan Tony penalty, he's going to put it to your right. Okay, I knew that. A lot of people knew that. And then Krul thought, he respects me so much.
he's going to put it.
He's mugged me off. All right, I'll get it this time. Oh no, he put so much power and whip on it. You can move along your line, goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Take a step to your right and then throw yourself in a fit of gay abandon and try and get your hand on that penalty, because my goodness, he knows how to take them. But I mean, that's what you need. If you're Brentford, you need to put those ones away, and my goodness, they did. But it was great for him. But the fourth consecutive defeat for Norwich, it just was poor. But the thing is, for Norwich, they missed chances in the first half.
They do.
You're a Norwich fan, you would tear your hair out, because that game is one of the, I mean, we say it all the time, don't we, when you're down the bottom, or if you are indeed bottom, it's must win, you're playing another team, must win. But after that, I mean, look, if you look at the table, we talk about must win games. I mean, they're on 17, they've played three more games than Everton, who are in 17th. You know, that win takes Brentford 10 points above Norwich City. I think that is quite a damning defeat, and I'd be amazed if they were, despite Dean Smith's best efforts, I'd be amazed if they managed to turn this around.
Who was on top of Eriksen?
Brandon Williams.
Yeah.
That was quite an enjoyable.
That was really sweet, moment, wasn't it? Really
it looked
weird.
Like he was about to chin him.
I know, because he was going to about to chin him. He's really angry. He was like, this is a bad look.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see this. I'm going to see this in a GIF. And he did. We did.
We did. I mean, but the way he
follow through on your anger.
Do you remember
crying out loud?
Do you remember Graham Souness?
Not him.
When he played, I think it was for Rangers. Or was it at Liverpool or Rangers, where he grabs that player by the throat and like basically threatens to punch him. And you think to yourself, that might happen. It was not far off.
Oh yeah, it was like, yeah, it was real anger. No, you don't.
Yeah, but the change of heart so quickly. Eriksen must be thinking, I can get away with all sorts. That's going to be like with the referee.
He's quite a niggly player, Eriksen, isn't he? He's a very talented footballer, but he really gets under the skin of players.
I'd like to think, you know, he makes some sort of, you know, handball on the line or something. The referee goes to give it. Come on. It's me.
Come on, it's me, baby.
Oh, dear. Brentford themselves now 6 points clear of the relegation zone. Are they going to survive? Are they going to do it? I mean, Eriksen does give them a lift.
He does give them a lift, absolutely.
You know, obviously, we know he's a quality player, but just to have him and his little smiley face and his little shirt-pulling antics and all that kind of stuff around the play, it does give you a lift, as well as his quality, of course.
I would have liked to have seen what they could have done against Newcastle the week before without the sending off. So we don't know what lift this gives Brentford. So
true, but they needed a win, because that's their first win in six.
Yeah.
By the way, just looking at Newcastle have won 5 of their last 6.
It's insane.
What is that?
The most hard thing is like, it's not necessarily about the new players, it's just people who are just playing better.
I know, I know. We'll get to Newcastle in just a moment, because speaking of Norwich, I want to bring this to everybody's attention, by the way. We all miss Daniel Farke, well, some Norwich fans don't, and his topics. We miss the topics, let's be honest. Well, did you hear the All-American man, Jesse Marsh, saying his post-match presser after Leeds 1-0 defeat to Leicester City, I'm very pleased that after 4 days where we've changed a lot of tactical topics, there was such clarity. We may have the topics back.
Yes. Tactical topics.
Topics,
he wouldn't even be aware of the chocolate bar.
Maybe he is.
God, I love a topic.
Do you?
I love anything with hazelnuts
in it. One hazelnut.
Just beautiful. It's got one hazelnut in it. It's an idea.
Really keeping the cost down, though.
You said you love anything with hazelnuts.
Yeah, okay,
there must be a
I'm sure there's more than one in there. Somewhere.
Create your own. Get them in there.
Yep.
Get your hazelnuts in there.
Jam them in.
Yeah, they are underrated, it's got to be said. Yeah.
Nobody eats them. Nobody talks about them. But we are setting the chocolate agenda. Yeah, football ramble.
Absolutely. Yes.
Big bangers.
Right, we mentioned Newcastle. They beat Brighton 2-1.
They did.
Easy peasy, Peter.
It's just easy. It was
flying up the table.
It was very nervy, but it was good. Good.
Do you think they're 20 points off?
We've got a 5'1" spot. We've got a 5'1" player who's making headers in the Premier League. We're enjoying it.
5'1"?
Little guy. Little guy.
Scottish guy.
Scottish guy.
That goal was that goal was such a, again, a sign of the times, wasn't it? Because it came from a Jacob Murphy run. And obviously Murphy didn't score, but Fraser picked up the rebound. And Murphy was the player from the infamous, "I just put it in the net!" thing that we play.
Yes.
And it's all turned around. And got to be honest, Pete, it's already fucking boring.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what, you enjoyed it. Oh, you enjoyed it for the first few weeks. Yeah. But I think ASM is a good impact sub, because if it's like 60 minutes in, you know, you start a winner of it, and then you see bloody the play stretcher ASM. Wow. Like, yeah. I he can have complaints, but his final ball is so poor at times, and his final decision making can be so poor at times. I think he is best served.
That,
the
kind of,
I know.
That. Just give it before you get to that final third. My favourite stat about this, about Newcastle at the moment, was this was the first time in the first quarter of the match at home in 6 years that Newcastle had scored two goals.
Wow.
Right, okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they scored in the 12th and 14th minute.
Right, okay.
They're essentially saying this is the first time in ages at home Newcastle have scored two goals fairly early.
Massively against the run of play. I thought Brighton were the best side I've seen play in Newcastle in the first 20 minutes, but they just fell away since the goals.
They couldn't do it in the Dan Byrne derby.
Couldn't do it in the Dan Byrne derby.
They could not do it. But for some reason, though, not everybody was pleased in the Newcastle camp after the game. Newcastle tweeted out a message from Jonjo Shelvey the next day, Big Jonj himself, and he said, "We weren't at our best yesterday. I apologise for my own performance. I've actually watched the game back twice, but I dug deep and I'm proud of my team for doing the same." Bit of a mixed message there.
Yeah.
Now, we know footballers can apologise for performances and results, and some people hate that. Some people presumably think it's okay, whatever one may think. He's apologising for maybe not putting in his best performance yesterday, despite them winning the game. But then he did say he was proud of his team for doing the same, because he dug deep.
I think it's a weird one, isn't it? It's not, is it? Yeah, he did. It's weird to apologise for it again. I think you can assess your own performance and say perhaps it was found a bit lacking, but I don't think there's a need to apologise for it. It's very, very strange.
It is strange because he played quite badly for about two seasons under Steve Bruce.
Exactly, yeah.
So I need a full Twitter thread. I want you to go through every match. I don't want you to sleep, eat or drink. Yep, you need to be watching those eyes on the prize, please.
Now he cares. He feels terrible.
I'm mortified. I was a monster.
Yeah. Perhaps he's looking at his own future, isn't he? Just kind of, I want to stay in this team, and it's probably quite unlikely.
Perhaps he's looking at Qatar in the winter gym.
Maybe he is.
There we go. This is an early
shout. Not that complexion.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of sun cream wouldn't be needed. But for everybody, of course. Now, you mentioned Steve Bruce. He's found an interesting way of motivating his players at West Brom. Did you see that they picked up their first win, beating Hull 2-0 at the weekend? And he spoke about Jake Livermore and said his reading of the game was very good, the way he broke things up. He owed us that after getting sent off like a prick. I can say that about Jake because he'll take it in the right way. You hope so, Steve.
Right, yeah.
Hearts and minds.
It's that kind of man management that you wonder why he couldn't get a tune out of Shelvey.
He's a bad manager, though, isn't he?
Oh, dear. Oh. Oi, a win's a win's a win.
A win's a win's a win.
Indeed. Indeed. Yep. Tonight, everybody, in the Premier League, Spurs versus Everton. Of course, Forest against Huddersfield in the FA Cup, which will complete what would it be, round five? And then we're into the quarterfinals. Yeah. I think that's right.
Straight in. Now.
It's after. But yes, Spurs versus Everton, intriguing one. And it is relevant because it's to do, you know, Everton are down there.
Yeah.
They've lost five in the last six. They're on 22 points. They're one behind Leeds United with three games in hand. They're one above Burnley with two games in hand and so on. I mean, it's madness.
I think this will probably be a Tottenham win, but we'll see.
Dele Alli muted celebration. Are we going to see that?
Yeah, some narrative. You never know with a narrative, do you?
You never know with that narrative. Well, we look forward to that one tonight, everybody. But we're going to end the show here. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Good news is tomorrow we're back in the form of Kate, Jim and Pete. We're subbing me out for Kate.
We are.
What a good move all round, I think. Thank you very much for listening to today's Football Ramble. It's been a bloody pleasure. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Bigbangers.co.uk.
4Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.